One old preacher said, I'm going to tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told her third husband. I'm not going to keep you long. And she was true to her word. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just crazy. Amen. Yeah, Carl said, you're right. I am crazy. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If y'all could give me something up here, maybe I could hear myself a little better, fellas. I won't strip a gear. And honestly, when I walked in here tonight, back to the church, it wasn't like this. So I don't know what's happened between now and then, but it is what it is. Hey, I may have to do some tag team preaching here in a little while. Tag one of y'all in. Y'all better be studying this text. The next verse could be yours. Amen. We began this morning preaching a thought on Satan's plan and the Savior's protection. Now, we got bogged down, not really bogged down. I believe God had his will and way in it. We got the first thought, and we began to talk about that we are in a real spiritual battle. I think I made this statement this morning, and it's probably not the right statement to make, but not that we have our head in the sand, but we are so bound with life, we forgot that there is an enemy. And folks, that enemy is not sitting around drinking coffee and eating donuts. The Bible said he walketh about. That's a continual. He's never resting. He walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's lurking. He's lurking for my family and your family. I made this statement this morning. I'll say it again. If Satan can stop our home, he can stop our church. If he can be a stumbling block at home, he can drain the spirit here. If he can kill the love at your house, he'll kill the love. The devil will kill the love at God's house. If there's no power of God in your home, there'll be no power of God in God's house. Satan knows that. We know it, but yet we forget about it. We let things slip. And so we looked at some things this morning that I won't go back to, because we saw Satan's plan this morning. And we noticed in the first thought of the message that we recognize the adversary. Verse 11 and 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting each other. If two of God's people are quarreling or fighting, Satan is the instigator of that. And I promise you, either one or both are carnal. That's right. Spiritual people that walk in the Spirit don't look for quarreling. They don't look for trouble. They don't look for fights. They seek peace, and they ensue it. They pursue after it. That's what the Lord did. Bible tells us, if a man have good life and see good days, let him seek peace and ensue it. That means to pursue after it. I wonder tonight, we seek after drama. And everybody's mean and bad to me, but we don't seek after peace. That's the carnal man running the show. Amen. Bible says, if any man have aught against any, he'd go to that man. He said, tell him his fault between he and him alone. And that'll be reconciled. Nobody else know anything about it. That's the will of God. He gave another step and another step, but he wants us to, hey, spiritual people, take the first step. Right. It ain't about getting on the defensive. It's about saying, hey, you know what? I didn't mean it. I didn't set out to do it, but you're telling me that I offended you. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to point out all your faults. I'm going to tell you I didn't mean to do that. I'm very sorry. Please forgive me and go on. See, but Satan, he wants that kind of trouble in a marriage. Remember, we read this text, but in chapter 5, he dealt with the marriage behavior. Chapter 6, he dealt with the children-parent behavior. In chapter 6, he dealt with the job behavior. Then he said, finally, we pointed out that those areas right there is where Satan will attack your marriage, your children, you as a parent, and attack you on your job. We even talked about Job this morning. Satan attacked him in four areas. You can rest assured it's coming to you. He attacked his family, his finances, his fitness, and his faith. That's where he attacked him at. And Satan, he brought all those other things so he could attack his faith. He said, Lord, if you'll take down that hedge, allow me to do this, this, and this, he'll curse you to your face. And that's what the devil wants in our home. He wants the marriage to be in a shambles. He wants the children to be in shambles. And you know what? End up saying, it's not worth it. We may not curse God to his face, but we'll quit. Oh my. We'll bail out. We'll quit. And that's what he wants. He wants us to say, I'm done with this. See, Satan knows that he's lost the battle for our soul. Get a hold of this. Satan knows you're securing your salvation more than you do. He knows he's lost that battle for your eternal soul, but now he's wanting your testimony. Now he's trying to rob your joy and your contentment. He's going to do it with the things closest to your heart. So we see who the adversary is not. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Mentioned this morning, that refers to devils, against powers, ranks of evil spirits as military, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, the atmospheric heaven. Not the third heaven, the atmospheric heaven, where Satan's ruling and reigning. Now, of course, I got caught up on UFOs. Folks, again, and I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings or confuse you, but there's no such thing as aliens from other planets.
That's right.
God created the heaven and the earth, created man on the earth.
Amen.
Preacher, what's all these sightings? What's all this they see? Satan is the prince and the power of the air. You see stuff out there like that, somebody catch something on camera, that's devils. That's satanic territory. And Satan is so smart, he uses all that to bring fear and confusion to God's people. But we wrestle. Get a hold of that. We wrestle against, not flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, preacher, we wrestle. There's a battle. How in the world can we win? Because we're weaker. We can't see it. We can't overpower it. That takes us to number two. Recognize the adversary, then utilize the armor. If it's a spiritual battle, it can only be won with spiritual weapons. Or should I say armor? And I know you know the text, verses 13 through 17. I understand that you know that. But we're going to look at it again, briefly. See, we try to fight the devil. We try to fight our flesh through our own strength. I promise you, your strength will run out before you wear the devil out, naturally. You will never, ever whip him. I know I've told this a million times, but I was told of a preacher that stood in his pulpit and made this statement one time. He said, "I challenge the devil." And folks, within a year, he lost his marriage, his children, and his church. Satan showed him, "I'll show you." But preacher, that scares me. Well, it scares the flesh, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So notice these things with me, please. Verse number 14, look at it with me. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Now we have, in verse 14, we have the girdle of truth. These soldiers that put on this armor, realistically, they would have that girdle. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean? What is that?" That kept everything snug and in place. Their weaponry, everything they had, it kept them together. It kept them tight and kept them where they're supposed to be. Folks, you understand? If you're not wrapped up tight in truth, you are a prey. P-R-E-Y. If you're not wrapped up in truth, that's why, again, I think I preached this Wednesday or said this Wednesday, the Lord taught us how to deal with temptation. Simply, the Word of God, the truth. He gave us the example when Satan attacked Christ's humanity. Those, Christ is God. God cannot be tempted to sin. The Lord allowed that to teach us who would have to deal with temptation, who would have to fight the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The only hope we have is the truth. You have truth close to your heart. You have truth in your mind. You have truth in your daily walk. You got to have truth, the girdle of truth. Then he said, same verse, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, a soldier, that breastplate protects vital organs. From here to here are vital organs in your body. And that breastplate protected those vital organs. And here, a spiritual piece of armor is a breastplate of righteousness. See, folks, if you know the truth, you've got to utilize what's taught in there. And the Bible will take you to righteousness. So, righteousness, separating ourselves from the world, will protect us from sin. Get a hold of that. You young people, listen to me. And if you're older and dating, you listen to me. Amen. You better not wait till you're in the car at night alone with the boy or girl to make up your mind what your standards are. You better have that settled with God before He picks you up. You young Christians, you listen to me. Young people, stop caving into the desires of your flesh thinking that's going to get you gain in this world. It's not. It's going to get, it's, hey, listen to me. It's going to give you a wicked name in the community, in this world. You think, well, everybody's nice when they see me, but when you walk on, they remind who they with.
Right.
How many people?
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. Well, you ain't supposed to judge. I know that, but the world does. Go ahead and put on that breastplate of righteousness and be snug with the truth.
Right.
You remember Amnon and Tamar? Y'all know the story of what happened there? He loved his half-sister. Wanted to be with his half-sister. And the Bible said Amnon had a friend that conspired and got her to come. And before the night was over, Amnon raped her. And that love that he thought he had after he committed that wicked act turned into hatred toward her.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And at that moment, she had to take off the garments of a virgin. Let me tell y'all something, and this ain't right. I don't know why I'm preaching this, but this ain't right, but this is the way it is. That little girl bare the name, the blame, and the shame. And Amnon went on his merry way.
That's right.
She was shamed the rest of her life. And old boy goes on like nothing. Old boy's the hero in town. Everybody said, hey, I'm just going to talk plain. Guess who Amnon was with? And they sitting over here making fun of this precious young lady. She turned into a piece of trash, not in God's eyes, but in this world's eyes. And for the rest of her life, everybody talked about that. Listen to me, folks. I've been out of high school a long time. And you still see certain people remember certain things. I don't care how, hey, I'm not judging anybody. I love people get saved, people, but that you can't help it. I don't try to recall it. It pops in. Why would that be? That's what's remembered about that person. That's what's remembered about them. Preacher, what are you trying to do? Hurt our feelings? No, I'm trying to warn you. See, folks, we are to admonish. That's what's going on. That means to forewarn. And Satan, if he can get you craving this world, all you, I endure church for 3 hours a week. Parents, you better realize the preacher and the Sunday school teacher has them very few hours a day.
Right.
I mean a week. Don't and their school teacher the same. Don't bow up on that authority when your kids go wild. That's a job for the mirror.
Amen.
And only for the grace of God. All of our children. I don't know where I'm going with this. What I'm trying to say is this. Hey, daddies and mamas, girl backbone. Girl backbone. If you love them, you would.
Right.
So we see the girdle of truth. I don't know why I preach that. I don't have a clue. God knows. There it is. The breastplate of righteousness. Then we see in verse 15. Look at verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. In other words, feet shod, what does that mean? Be ready, be prepared on the offensive to carry the gospel as a soldier. Always be prepared. See, when we're bound with truth, and we're walking with that breastplate of righteousness, walking filled with the Spirit, separated, then we should always be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. It's a shame that in the Bible Belt, cults are doing more legwork than Christians. Cults are doing more legwork than Christians in these last days. And cults are training their young people more than we are. We're too busy trying to make them popular, trying to make them big shots, and trying to make them give them careers and all that stuff. And it all may have its proper place, but we forget about what's the main thing. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Here we go. Shield of faith. Folks, you understand that shield that they would carry would be big enough to get completely behind a whole army, fleet of soldiers, hundreds and hundreds. They'd see the enemy. They'd get the charge. And probably a thousand or more arrows are in the air. Pew. Looks like a sea or a big cloud coming over. And it's those thousands of arrows that's been shot at them to take them out. They can't knock them back. What do? They get on their knees and they hide behind that shield. Listen to me, folks. We have God's word. That shield of faith is believing that word. And when the devil begins to fire at us on our knees with his word, speak the word. Speak the word. I know I've told this too, but it's come to mind. Years ago, me and Billy Burrell had an uncle. We have an uncle, but he's not, he can't do it now. Well, he probably thinks he can, but he can't. But he had an old car. He drove like a maniac. I mean, he's just wild in a car. And in the summertime, before we got older enough to stay by ourselves, we stayed with my grandma, and a bunch of us did, and my daddy gave me orders, do not get in the car, and called his name. You get in the car with him, I'm whipping you. He gave me a word. He looked pretty serious about it. Well, days went by, and one day, my grandma was sending him somewhere to the store, and he said, I think Billy did go with him, but he asked me, I want to go. Clay didn't give him that word. But Daddy gave me a word, and I remembered it. And I just quoted it back to him. I said, Daddy said if I got in a car with you, he's going to whip me not to get in a car with you. You drive crazy. My sisters blessed me out. Got home, told anybody, that's exactly what I wanted him to say. You know what? Remembering the word, trusting in what the word would do, got me out of trouble that day. How many of you, by raise of hand, I'm scaring y'all, ain't I? It's all right. We're amongst friends. How many of you have saved yourself trouble because all of a sudden that nagging mama or that nagging daddy, what they told you come back to you by the time you're about to make a decision?
Amen. Yes, sir.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
There you go. It has me too. Folks, that's why you need to get in the book, get it in your heart, get it in your mind. Because by the time the devil's he's really messing with you, you remember the word. It's what Christ used. It is written. It is written. Folks, we need to remember that. See, our problem is we don't know if it's written. We don't know. So we just go ahead and do. So we see the shield of faith, but then in verse 17, look at it. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Doesn't mean preaching it. The helmet of salvation. What does that mean? It goes on your head. The assurance of your salvation. The assurance of what God said. You understand? There is five defensive weapons or armors here. Everything else, everything we have is to block attacks. But we have one offensive. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Right. Again, I've been preaching it. Folks, the only way to defeat the temptations and what devil throws at us is with God's word.
Right.
You're not going to outsmart him. You're not going to renegotiate or negotiate with him. You'll lose.
Right.
Just know the book. Just know the word. Just quote the Bible. And be determined that you're going to do what that word said.
Right.
Let me give you something. Let me give you something here. There's three thoughts. Number one, we talked about this morning. Recognize the adversary. Just talked about utilizing the armor. But now exercise admonition. Not ammunition, admonition. What's our admonition? Verse 10. First thing is, he said, be strong. Is that what he said? Be strong in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in what? The Lord. And in the power of his might. The first thing he said during these attacks, you better keep your faith in him. You better rest in him. You better lean upon him. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Folks, God's never lost a battle. Be suited. We just talked about the armor. But then be steadfast. Look at verse 18 through 20. Praying always. There it is. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There it is too. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hey. Spiritual battles are won in the word and on your knees. The devil fights your family. It's not won in a knockdown drag out. Because if we go that route in the flesh, we're going to say something to make it worse. Come on. You're going to do something, you're going to regret. You're going to say something you wish you hadn't said. You can't. When the devil is fighting your marriage, when he's fighting you personally, when he's fighting you with your children or your job, the word of God and prayer. You got to fight it spiritually. Praying always, not sometimes. Always have a active prayer life with all prayer, all supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. The word perseverance, that's a Bible word. That means don't quit. Stay in the Word, stay on your knees, and keep fighting spiritually. With all perseverance, carrying on when you feel like quitting. When you're tired spiritually and you've had enough, don't quit. If you quit, you fell into the trap of Satan. Failure's not final. Get up. A just man falls seven times and he rises again. Get up. Keep moving. See, the devil's made it all so easy. Just quit and do what you want to do. Boy, that sounds good to the flesh. And then he'll point out, them's good people, and I'm not pointing anybody in particular, I'm just pointing. Those people over there's good people, they quit. Hey, that preacher over there, hey, you love him. He's still a good fellow, but he quit. Your friends, they still pop into church, but they still live it up where they want to. Hey, they're still good people. He's lying. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying he will show you a positive to get you to do a negative. And folks, it's not only the world that gets offended easy, the church does too. Preachers can't preach straight like this because it offends people. Preachers have gotten afraid to call sin by its first name because, hey, whoa, we can't do that. Oh, that preacher don't love people. That preacher, oh no, that church don't have any love, folks. To me, if you don't tell me the truth, it's showing you don't love me.
That's right.
If you don't preach it straight, it's telling me you don't care about me. If you don't tell me where I'm living, I don't care. Hey, you know what? If I was just here for the paycheck, I'd preach on all the easy stuff that everybody liked. And watch your family, watch you yourself go to the dogs. Say, oh well. They ain't mad at me though. That's cowardly. The man that done my back surgery, I was told by some, use him. His bedside manner ain't the best, but he's great. And I had some, and here's was their thing. He just too blunt. Well, I went to several others before I went to him. I listened to them. I said, I'm going to see him. You know why? Because somebody that knew the facts, that works beside him, that we had confidence in, said, you better go talk to him. He cares for his patients. We walked in there, here he come. Him and his, I don't know, partner, whoever that dude was, they come in. You know what they did? They come in sugar-free. What does that mean? They didn't sugarcoat my problem. That's a mess. Only thing that's going to fix it is surgery. By the way, these three here, they're going to blow out sooner or later. My wife said, if you don't have the surgery, will them blow out? He said, ma'am, surgery or not, eventually them's blowing out too. Y'all, he said, maybe 5 years. Y'all pray 5 years. He said, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. Then he left me with a decision. What you going to do? And he backed up everything he said. I won't preach in that way. Hey, that's sin. God will forgive you. Repent. Trust Him. Tell me exactly what I need. Be straight with me. You know what he did? What he did? He operated on me. He didn't even let me lay around. I'm still half doped up. On the second time, I've been put under. And I'm sitting there. They rolled me a chair. You stand up. Stood up. Walk. I'm still under the influence. I finally cut my sense. I checked the back of that gown. Yeah, I got something on back there. He said, I want you, hey, don't lay in that bed. What we did to you, it's fixed. But you can't lay there. You can't practice what you're supposed to practice. We've done the work in you. Now you got to do your part. And every few minutes, I was up, walking halls, making circles, middle of the night, early in the morning. But so you're getting your walking in, yep. I begin to exercise it. Folks, if God does a work in your heart and does a work in you, it doesn't just magically, he shows you the need, does the work in your heart, then you have to exercise it. If you don't exercise your faith, if you don't exercise prayer life, if you don't make right decisions to deny the flesh, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be right back down at God's hospital. Are you listening? Folks, it's real. This battle's real. We're wrestling against the devil. And we can't defeat him within our own strength. But God's given us what we need. We've got to utilize it. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar is open if you need to come.